Before we start today's show, we want to share some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Normal Gossip is back for its sixth season. If you've ever found yourself eavesdropping on strangers' juicy conversations and maybe wanting to chime in too, this show is for you. On Normal Gossip, host Kelsey McKinney shares the juiciest gossip sent in by listeners all around the world, then brings in a special guest to weigh in on the actions within the story. The stories are everything from petty to bizarre to downright strange. Fun fact, you might recognize a few of this season's guests from the Radiotopia universe. So check it out. New episodes start April 17th. Listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Radiotopia.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
This is Johnny Cash singing one of the last songs he recorded before he died. It's called Ain't No Grave.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground.
No one thing you should know about this song is that it's had many, many different lives.
Ain't no grave, hold my body down.
Ain't no grave, gonna keep my soul down.
Ain't no grave,
gonna hold my body down.
Well, there ain't no grave,
gonna hold this body down.
Ain't No Grave has a wonderfully strange history. It was written by a 12-year-old boy who was on his deathbed. Instead of dying, that boy went on to become a Pentecostal preacher, and he would later help inspire the birth of rock and roll. His name was Claude Ely, and for many years, hardly anyone outside the Appalachian Mountains had ever heard of him. Even his extended family didn't know much about him.
There ain't no grave can hold.
Today on the show, a story about a song and one man's search to find out more about his great uncle, a man they called the Gospel Ranger.
My name is Maisel Ely. I'm the great-nephew of Brother Claude Ely. 2001, I was going on a vacation to London, England. I went to a record shop, and they began to play music over the intercom system.
Heaven, heaven, I wanna go to heaven.
And I recognized it as my Uncle Claude's music. Just to make sure I wasn't going crazy, I went to the store manager who was at the register, and I said, "Are you playing Claude Ely's music?" And he took me down an aisle, and there was an actual display of Brother Claude Ely. They had a picture, and they had blown it up and cut it out, and they had old 45s, they had old LP albums. I stood there for an hour, and people were coming in the store, and they were buying my uncle's music right in front of me. It really freaked me out, to be perfectly honest. I had grown up hearing my uncle singing and preaching and praying, and it to me was just the same screaming and shouting that we had grown up in church hearing. I had no idea that outside of those Appalachian Mountains that people had heard about Brother Claude Ely. And so 50 years after these recordings, I wanted to know who this man really was. So every free weekend that I had, I would get in my car. You know, if you go to these small eastern Kentucky towns, you can hit 10 or 11 churches in a 2-mile radius. And if it said Pentecost or if it said holiness, I was inside knocking on the door asking if there was people there that I could speak to. And did they mind if I recorded them?
Okay, I've got it recorded. Just tell me your name.
Okay, my name is Linda Morgan, L-I-N.
And I would begin to ask people, did you ever hear of a man named Claude Ely?
Yesterday, he had a tent revival in Cumberland, Kentucky, where I was raised.
The first time I
made him. He just opened his mouth and let her fly.
My name is Christine Cornelius, and I'm from Bell County.
My name is Robert Charles Long of Rose Hill, Virginia.
Jeanette Barrett.
Danny Hudson.
Mary Lynn Frank from Big Stone Gap, Virginia.
I've been to hundreds of churches, thousands of miles. Over 9 years, I've interviewed over 1,400 people.
My name is Roberta Pratt. I was a member of the Cumberland Pentecostal Church where Brother Claude Ely was pastored. Even as a child, he really had a very strong personal relationship with God.
Brother Claude Ely was born in 1922 in Puckett's Creek, Virginia. And when he was 12 years old, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis and told that he was going to die as a child. So his uncle Leander gave him an old beat-up guitar, and he would practice it on his bed.
He was dying, and they had called the family in, and they gathered in the room where he was in bed and prayed for him, and then he said, "I'm not going to die." And he started singing the song.
There ain't no grave.
They felt that God had supernaturally healed him, and they believed that God had given him a song. And the name of that song was "There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down."
Well, I'm going to the River of Jordan, bury my knees down in the sand. Gonna holler high, Hosanna, till I reach that promised land. Oh, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
And that song became an anthem among Pentecostal holiness people in the Appalachian Mountains.
It's just a plain, simple song that we'll never have to face eternity without God. It's a hope song. It's a hope song.
Gonna hold my body down.
He didn't have a formal education. He never went to high school. He had the reading ability of maybe a first grader. But as he was entering adulthood, he felt that it was important for him to be on the road. And so he would travel from city to city, and he would wear a cowboy hat and a white suit.
He was a very heavy-set person, and he had a gold tooth in the front, and he had been nicknamed the Gospel Ranger.
He would be driving a car, and with one hand he would drive with the steering wheel, and the other he would have a bullhorn outside the window, and he would announce, "Later tonight at 7 o'clock, I'll have a tent set up in the middle of town. Please come out and experience the fire and Holy Ghost."
Thank the Lord, hallelujah. I'm glad today that we can stand on holy ground. Thank the Lord.
The way he carried himself, and that old guitar slung on his back, and that big old smile, Claudie, he didn't disappoint anybody. At all.
I've got the joys of God down in my soul, and I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah.
I was having trouble with my back as a child, and so I got in a line to be prayed for, and the power of God came down, and I was healed right there in the line.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
My name is Dennis Hensley, and I traveled with Brother Ely playing lead guitar for him in his revivals.
I feel good in my soul, and I feel like singing today. Don't feel much like preaching, but I feel like singing.
When Brother Claude would get up to sing, I mean, he would just hit a key on the guitar, and when he started singing, it's just like the heavens would open up.
Thank the Lord. Well, I'm crying holy unto the Lord. I'm crying holy.
People heard about this country preacher that sang like a black man.
And he played like a washboard style guitar, like an up and down type rhythm, like you're painting a house.
He would shake and gyrate from one part of the stage to the other, and they would have young men running up to wipe his forehead because he was sweating.
People would cry, people would clap their hands. Everybody was just kind of caught away in the spirit.
Gladys Presley, Elvis's mother, was a huge fan of Brother Claude Ely's ministry. People have talked about Gladys and Elvis getting blessed at Brother Claude Ely's tent revival and jump and sing and praise while Brother Claude Ely laid hands on him and prayed for them.
And that's what Claude was all about. He wanted you to feel the same spirit of the Lord that he felt.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
My name is Kevin Fontenot, and I'm an expert on country music history at Tulane University.
In 1953, King Records heard about Brother Claude and wanted to record him live and in action at a Pentecostal service.
Brother Ely came to the courthouse in Letcher County, Kentucky, for a few nights' revival.
King Records set up their equipment in the courthouse. Those were the initial recordings that made Brother Claude Ely pretty popular.
Thank the Lord. Get up here right close to the microphones. Don't be afraid to sing for the glory of God.
The courthouse was packed. It was full of people.
Well, holy, 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 that's all right. Well, holy, holy, holy,
this is the first time we really get to hear a Pentecostal service live on record. For that reason, it's a very valuable historical document.
It was like a church service, really. You would hear people saying amen, clapping hands. As such, Pentecostals clap off the beat. Other people who clap will clap with the beat, and it drives Pentecostals crazy. We prefer our style of hand clapping.
Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, they all grew up in the Pentecostal church, grew up on that same style that Brother Ely grew up on.
It might be hard to say, well, this comes from here and that comes from there, but if I was going to make a case that Pentecostal music had an impact on rock and roll, I wouldn't tell them anything. I would play them Brother Claude Ely, and I would say, listen.
Well, send down that rain, Lord.
Until you hear Brother Claude do, you know, send down that ladder rain, and you hear that rhythm coming in there, and then you hear them sisters behind him getting down too, you just don't know.
Thank the Lord. Let me just catch my breath, sister. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
May 7th, 1978 is when Brother Claude Ely passed away. He was in his church in Newport, Kentucky. There happened to be a tape recorder that someone brought to record parts of the service.
And when he got through preaching, he went over and sat down at the organ and started singing a song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" And he got middleways through the song, and he just fell backwards.
And you can hear the screaming and the moaning, people praying for him. He died of a heart attack in front of his entire congregation. He dies singing and preaching and praying.
Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Since that time, there's been many, many artists that's recorded Claude's song, "There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down."
Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Some have slowed it down. Some's even made it faster.
That's gonna hold my body down.
Ain't no grave hold my body down.
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Ain't no grave.
The list just goes on and on, and it just makes you feel good to know that a little country preacher from down in Virginia wrote that song, and it's pretty much went all over the world.
A few years ago, I went to the cemetery where Brother Claude Ely was buried in Dryden, Virginia, and when I arrived, there was a handwritten note taped on his cemetery plot, and it just simply said, "Dear Brother Ely, you sung it and preached it to us. I know one day you'll come up out of this here ground. Thank you for being so good to us. It made a big difference, and we won't forget it."
There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Our story about the Gospel Ranger originally aired on NPR in 2011. We'll be back with an update about a recent story that we really loved after this message. This episode of Radio Diaries has support from Article Furniture. Article Furniture combines the unique quality of a vintage store with the convenience of shopping online. Their furniture is beautifully crafted but still durable and made with only the best quality materials. For example, you can check out their new Desert Modern collection, which has tons of great tables, chairs, and cushions. Having ordered some stuff on Article myself, I can say they have beautiful stuff and they have really good customer service. Shout out to Marvin at Customer Care. So try Article for yourself. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Go to article.com/diaries and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/diaries to get $50 off your first purchase, $100 or more. So regular listeners of this show may remember Joe Newman from our series Hunker Down Diaries, where we recorded people navigating lockdown in the early months of the pandemic. When I first spoke to Joe back in April of 2020, he had just recently given up his car.
It was a 2001 Mercedes hardtop red convertible. It was fun right around the block in my red convertible. So for a few years, it was a fun life.
What did you love about driving that car?
That's a good question, because the answer is stupid, isn't it? It's that you have power. You can get behind the wheel of something and start it, and it'll take you wherever you wanted to go. But there comes a point where you have to accept the fact that a person my age should not be risking other people's life. And it's strange. You see, for myself, I thought it was okay, keep driving. But then I look at other people driving and I say, gee, you ought to quit. And finally, I had to get the strength to tell myself that I ought to quit. That's it.
Joe was 107 years old when he finally gave up his car. And we're pretty sure that made him the oldest driver in America. That was more than a year ago. We're sad to report that Joe Newman passed away this week at the age of 108. He covered a lot of ground with all those years. I originally got in touch with Joe to interview him about his memories of his first global pandemic, the one in 1918. He was 5 years old at the time. Later on, as an adult, he helped to start a school for developmentally disabled children after having a child of his own who was severely injured at birth. He also was one of the first employees of the Social Security Administration, where part of his job was to go out in the field and convince people that Social Security was a good thing. Even more remarkably, he ran for Congress in 2014 at the age of 101. In our story last year, Joe and his fiance Anita Sampson talked openly about a lot of things, including death.
Being my age, it's hard to say this, but you have days when you would almost welcome death because you figure, well, you've been here long enough, so be it. What's your reaction?
Well, about 2 weeks before we were told that we had to stay in our apartments, I had gotten a cold, and I was really scared that this was happening to me. Fortunately, it was just a mild cold. But I was getting anxious because I wanted to reach 100. All of a sudden, it became very important to me. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to die.
You know, this is new to me. You've always indicated to me that you had no fear.
You know, the reason why I don't want to die is because I like being around you. I like being in this relationship, and I really don't want it to stop.
Well, that's the best thing I've heard in the last 2 hours.
That was Anita Sampson and the late Joe Newman. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Nellie Gillis, Elisa Escarce, Micah Hazel, and myself. Stephanie Rodriguez is our marketing and operations manager. Our editors are Ben Shapiro and Deborah George. And our story about the Gospel Ranger was produced with Samara Freemark. Radio Diaries is part of the Radiotopia Network from PRX. You can hear all the shows at radiotopia.fm. We have support from the National Endowment for the Humanities, National Endowment for the Arts, NISCA, and from listeners like you. I'm Joe Richmond of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
I think we've been reminiscing enough, and I think it's time for our lap.
All right.
Radiotopia. From PR.